So welcome to Pax Europiana. This is now section number 21. I will talk in section 21 about European Albania. I will talk why I like this country very much, why it should be in the European Union, why it's great, it's already since 2009 in NATO, why it matters for all Europeans to visit this beautiful country, and also how to visit. I will explain a bit about tourism, the economy, geography, and about the history, and also about the future. And I will then do similar series about all countries which should be in that decade in the European Union. Obviously, I call for Albania to already vote in the year 2024 in the European Parliament election. And if we have some wisdom and some American leadership and some generosity as well, I think we will do that and we will invite Albania to vote already in 2024. I know some in Brussels think that Günther is exaggerating, don't make any promises, you know, because they are so busy with themselves in Brussels, but it's the better way to do it. I will also explain a bit why I think it. This is absolutely the priority, and this is the right thing to do morally, historically, economically, politically, strategically, and it's an addition, a positive addition to the European unification process. And I think that is what we should do. So I thought it's interesting first to discuss how to go to Albania. That's always something. And what kind of country that is. Let me first say it's more a southern European country. When you go from Montenegro into Albania by car, I did it many times. There are two main smaller entry points from the north, from Montenegro. Unfortunately, while they are renovated with EU help and they are already united, kind of combined traffic points, border points, that means you give the passport to the one and then you get it back from the other, at least in the coastal checking point. They are much too small for the capacity. And when you go in the summer, it will be always overcrowded. Why is that? Because a lot of Albanians and also people from Kosovo, they work already in Switzerland and the European Union, and they have to come back to visit in the summer their family. They go by car, and additionally, there's many tourists. And unfortunately, as we always do in the European Union, we build something, but we always build it too small. We are surprised there are many people. And I don't know exactly why we do that always too late, too little, too small, but beautiful. That's how we do it. And then it was done exactly like that. And unfortunately, there is still no Adriatic Highway, because that is also what the European Union has promised to the Balkan countries, to build a big highway, which is now in Croatia, already south of Split. Now soon the Croatians are finished with the bridge in this Bosnian sea outlet, Neum. But unfortunately, Montenegro has not built anything in the meantime. The Bosnians have not built anything and the Albanians have not built anything. And so we are still on this renovated, reasonable, but very windy and small roads leading through many villages. And there's always a lot of traffic. In a way, Albania is very densely populated and especially in the coastal plains. And there is always a lot of children running around on the streets, bicycles, motor bikes with transport facilities attached, old trucks, and also cows, and, you know, there's everything on the street. Yeah. So when you do have to be very careful when you drive. And also, you know, it didn't help that under communism there was no mobility allowed, no motorized mobility allowed, a private one. And so until 1990, there was only 1,500 vehicles in all of Albania. And so the culture of driving is a bit rough. Additionally, the first decade of Albania was completely chaotic. And it was a completely chaotic breakdown of communism. And then the new system, which Berisha built in the 90s, broke down in 96, 97 as a result of the rigged elections 96 and the communists not accepting it and taking the power then in the breakup of these pyramids 97. And then it was completely chaotic, the Kosovo war as well, with this huge refugee influx. Yeah. So a normal development has really only happened with the year 2000. and you see that in all parameters. But when you see it on the streets, you have already much better streets than it is really amazing what was built in that country. Because always it's important to understand that Albania was the most paranoid country in Europe. And there was a permanent fear of invasion under communist Albania. They blocked and locked their people completely from the outside world because of the fear of American invasion, imperialism, that they always said. But in reality, they were afraid of Yugoslavia, because Yugoslavia was the country that was the big brother of communist in the communist world. And obviously, they didn't want to be swallowed. There was many projects for annexation of Albania into Yugoslavia, especially in the beginning after World War II. And so then the whole country has been hermetically kind of sealed off and no infrastructure allowed. That's why all the roads in the past were not leading to the border, were not leading to the coast, were always built in a way that you cannot use them for tanks or you cannot use them for airplane landings. And everything was basically completely sealed. And all the reasonable infrastructure which you see is now only developed in the last 20 years. And it was a huge effort to rebuild the country, not rebuild, to first time develop the country in a European kind of economy and infrastructure. This was enormous. And now actually much has been achieved. With the highways, you would be surprised, you know, they have decent highways around Tirana mainly, to the north and to the coast and also to Kosovo. And also in the south, there is now much more. Oh, but always, you know, it's not exactly European standard highways. Yeah, so don't get too excited and simply don't drive too fast. Leave the fast driving to the Albanians, because you cannot beat them with that. Yeah, at least that's my advice. I have been driving 6 years and all in all over 10 years regularly through Albania, the 6 years I lived there. And it was always exciting to be in the car. And I recommend passive security-oriented kind of survival tactics. I was also very active on road safety measures, but there was some positive effect, but for safer roads was kind of a lonely position. Anyhow, it's also connected with a lot of misery, accidents and deaths, unfortunately, and that's a big issue. But the infrastructure is getting better. So what I wanted to say, you have these northern entry points. That's decent, and then you already meet this northern main city, Shkodra, Skada it's called in different languages, and it was a city of huge historic significance for the Venetians, for the Ottomans. There was the Balkan Wars between Montenegro and the Ottoman Empire, very much about that city, and it's a beautiful city, worth to visit, with a beautiful, amazing castello. And at the river, the Buna River, where the Trin River meets the outlet of the Skada Lake, and it's beautiful flatland. It's very flat, actually, there. That's also the geography. I was there during the 2010, or it was 11, I think, in the winter, this big flood, where most of these floodlands of the north was underwater and flooded. It was kind of really dramatic for the people, and I was there in some project, and it was quite interesting actually to see, and shocking. But it's this kind of area where the sea meets the land, and it's these floodplains. And I'm sure in a warm winter, when it's not snowing enough but raining a lot, then you have these natural disasters, and that was quite dramatic. So you enter these floodplains of Shkodra. And these floodplains of Shkodra are basically going until Flora. First you go then to, of course, to Leje, and you have some hills there, but it's already quite flat. And this flat land goes until Tirana and Durres and down to Flora. And that's the Albanian plain. This is basically, I guess, former sea, which gradually turned into these floodplains. And there most of the Albanians live. And behind in the east you have the huge mountain chain, which is the protector of Albania towards people living beyond that. And that's basically what also historically saved Albania and the Albanians from the various invasions coming from the east. It's quite a separate people from the rest of the Balkan people. It's obviously not a Slav population. They speak the Albanian, the language of the old Illyrians, with some transformation and changes, and they are basically the longest lasting population, together with the Romanians, in a way, the Greeks, the original population. And then later came the Slavs in the 6th century, and then the Turks later in the 13th century. And today, obviously, everything is mixed. And there are a number of minorities in Albania living as well, Bulgarian minority, Serb minority, always in the border regions, but also Greek minority in the south, and so on and so on. And people in general speak quite good Italian, because that's very close, and there's this traditional cultural immigration pattern. You can, if you speak Italian, you will always find people who speak it. But today also English is widely spoken, so when you are as a tourist or working there, talking English is definitely possible almost everywhere. And learning Albanian is not so complicated. To learn some words like faleminderit, miredita, hello, goodbye, and thank you. Faleminderit meaning thank you, and miredita, hello, and mirupafshim meaning goodbye. So you have your first words already, and you will make a good entry. But most people, when they come from Central Europe, they fly. Because from Vienna, for example, going to Albania via the coastal road, under the present condition towards Tirana, will take you, you have almost to sleep one night, because it's a 16-hour ride. And it is too long to do it. I knew of some people who do it in one night, from Vienna to Tirana via the coast, but that's, I think, too much for driving for one day. And the best way, obviously, Albania has a wonderful airport in Tirana. It's really first class. It was built by a German company 10 years ago and 15 years ago. And it looks very modern, with palm trees. And you are already in this kind of Mediterranean atmosphere. When you land, you take in the breeze. It's quite close, so 15 kilometers from the seaside. And you feel already this kind of Mediterranean breeze when you leave the airport. And in the summer, it can be very hot, by the way. Albania is even hotter than Montenegro. You often reach temperatures above 40 degrees. In some August days, it can be 44, 46 degrees. You know, it was often too hot for me. You definitely need to take a hat or some kind of sun protection, because it can be for 2 months actually quite hot, and surprisingly hot, and also very humid. And yeah, it's beautiful. The coast, obviously, fantastic, and the summer, very beautiful, but always very overcrowded. It's not exactly the romantic small getaway holiday. There is a lot of people everywhere. And it's more, in many ways, in the summer especially, it is a more kind of Italian or Spanish Riviera, kind of huge sand beaches with really loads of people. And nevertheless, it's very beautiful. I loved it. And I loved it especially during the year to be living in Tirana, and to again then commute and to the coast. It's just half an hour from Tirana, 40 minutes maybe, and then you are at fantastic weekend getaways at the beach, and great restaurants, wonderful seafood, great people, great service, low cost. It's really very nice to live in Tirana. I enjoyed it a lot, and it was really very nice. So that's basically the northern entry points. And the most important entry point, in a way, obviously, is the airport and the Durres, when you go by ship from Italy, by ferry. And, but the biggest and the one most developed is the link to Kosovo. That was the most important capital investment up to now of the country. Also, on the other side, Kosovo did the same. They have built this highway of the nation, they call it. This is this kind of project of infrastructure structure unification, where all the internationals were completely against building such a enormously expensive highway in Albania and in Kosovo. But it was basically the decision after the Kosovo War where there were so many refugees who under terrible conditions were pushed over these mountains into Albania. And there was also weapons and supplies coming for the Kosovo liberation from Albania over that mountains under very difficult conditions. Because obviously the Yugoslavian border police was trying to monitor and block all this. And this was really extremely complicated supply logistics for the UCK and the different guerrilla forces in Kosovo. And once they have won with the help of NATO, and there was a clear decision that what they really need is good supplies from Durres and also a decent motorway. So despite both countries having really very little money, they have asked then this international company, Bechtel, to build this American conglomerate, to build this highway, and also they have done parts themselves. And then it was a major effort financially, but it's a bit of a windy highway. I think no Austrian highway designer would have allowed to build it like that. But they built it as they could. And if you are in motorbiking, you definitely will love it because it's a spectacular motorway for bikes. But always take a little bit of precaution because there could be always a truck stuck somewhere. Or the bend could be kind of spectacularly steep and downhill, so be careful. But it's wonderful. I always loved, every time I was at this highway, I loved it. Because the vistas are amazing, the view is grandiose, and it's really very nice. Yeah. So that's the third entry and exit point. That's the northeast, basically, to Kosovo, crossing this border with former Yugoslavia as well. When you want to stop, you see some of these border fortifications and the bunkers. You see them everywhere. And that's basically the main really developed motorway. There's also a huge border crossing now with Kosovo. Because in the summer, most people in Kosovo, they go to the coast. And they go on. It's only maybe 2.5 hours to go to the first main city at the coast to leisure, which in the history of Albania also has a huge significance because there the Albanian nobles, they have united under Skander Beg, the national liberation hero and the hero in the fight against the Turkish occupation, the Ottoman occupation in the 15th century. And basically there it's the museum, which also it's worth to visit. You should definitely do that. So this is the north of Albania. Albania is also religiously divided, the north with a significant Catholic population, and the south and the center, where the most of the people, obviously everything is mixed now and it's not so strict, but in the center is more a Muslim population, the south more Orthodox. More or less you can say it like this. There's obviously huge mix, and then the atheist communism was misruling Albania like a prison and a concentration camp for so long. That's a tragedy. I will talk about the history as well, but that was basically the situation. And then you come to Tirana, and south of Tirana you have huge mountains, but luckily they managed as well to have a tunnel built, a huge tunnel, the second largest one. The biggest one is on the road and the highway to Kosovo. But the second one is south to Albania, to Elbasan, and that's the ancient Turkish fortress, Elbasan, because then you enter the valley which leads to Macedonia. That's the big road to Macedonia and to the Ochrid Lake. You can go another 2 hours, and then you go, that's a normal road, it's easy, and there you head on to Macedonia. And this road is decent. I think it's windy and interesting for villages, but it's a decent road under this typical two-lane standards. And you can easily then make a stop up at the mountains to Macedonia. And there are a lot of beautiful bunkers from the Enver Hoxha times, because over 700,000 bunkers were built, this kind of two-person self-defense bunkers, where it was basically meant to defend against Yugoslavia. That was anyhow never happening, an invasion, but it was a total waste of money and of time. But now it's kind of spectacular to make some photos of these bunkers, because no other country in Europe has such a confused heritage of communism, and that's decent. Then in the southeast, there's also a border crossing towards Greece in Korcha. That's also an important city and beautiful with a lot of, that's already the mixed area where a lot of people have a relation or family tradition or speak Greek because of immigration or because of inheritance. There's also a Greek minority there. The Greeks call it Northern Epirus. And that's very controversial, anyhow, in the history. But this is the area where there was also a kind of civil war in the formation years of 1912 to 1921, when the history of Albania was and the independence was at stake, and all the neighbors regularly invaded Albania until Albanian independence was consolidated, basically with the help of the Albanians themselves militarily. But politically, the Americans and have backed the independence. And Wilson, under the self-determination of the people, he didn't want any more longer to take compromises. And then he has agreed and he has secured. And that Albania today actually was not, as I have recently said on one podcast, in Paris. But after the independence fight of the Albanians, it was the Americans who internationally supported it. And when you go to Tirana, you will see a lot of President Wilson statues, and you understand why. He is very much one of the real founding father of Albania, who has secured it in its first rough decade after the First World War. It's President Wilson. Yes, and then you have a fourth exit towards, so you have basically two exits to the north, to Montenegro, one to Kosovo, one to Macedonia, and two to Greece, and the one I told already in Korcha, and behind it there's directly the well-working Greek highway system. But in the south you have another exit, in the south, south of Saranda, Kakavia it's called, and there unfortunately the Greeks have not built the highway to the Egnatia Odos, to their big east-west highway, and that's missing unfortunately, and it's always completely messy because there are so many hundred thousands of Albanians living in Greece. They all want to come back in the summer. But the infrastructure, unfortunately, the Greeks have not paid and built. And I don't know why. It's probably racism and fear and xenophobia of Greece. There's unfortunately a lot of negative anti-Albanian feeling in Greece. It's getting better, but it's no longer like in the 90s and in the 2000s. But it's still very, very negative. Whenever when you are in Greece in holiday in the summer, you will find a lot of people, Albanians, working in the service industry. And in all Greek islands, you find a lot of people from Albania. But unfortunately, the Greeks in general, they are not so modern in their social relations as they claim to be. And they're always calling for solidarity for us from the Northern Europeans. But they are not so kind to build the highways to the neighboring countries. Whenever, obviously, it would be economically so beneficial to connect the countries better. And it's a bit of a shame. But what to do? Okay, now I think in 2021 there will be more wisdom. And also there's more money on the European level. And hopefully all this infrastructure connecting the southeastern Balkan states with Greece will also be part of our priorities, as it should be since a long time. Good. Albania, again, as I said, it's very flat country in the coastal plain, but huge mountains around. And why I said that this is these mountains which really saved Albania, because it's very complicated to go over them. And the Greeks and the Yugoslavs and before many others and the Turks, they have always tried to cross these mountains. But it was only rarely possible. And this is the mountains which historically have protected the Albanians. But there are Albanians living as well in Greece. But they unfortunately, in the terrible disaster of the Second World War, there was a lot of ethnic cleansing in the Albanian populated parts of Epirus. And that's a tragedy. It's called Cham, the Cham tragedy. And unfortunately, the Greeks have never apologized. and also in Albania, also in Macedonia, there is about 25 to 30% of the population Albanian by ethnicity. Now there will be the new census in 2021, so I'm curious about the results. But, you know, also they have only recently been on an equal rights situation as we understand it in Europe. This is under EU pressure and under the Albanian revolutionary pressure as well in 2001. Then there was the Ohrid Agreement of equality, racial equality, and then also to have institutional access, and that all with the language that Macedonia is now with equal rights of the Albanian language. That just happened, I think, in 2020. So a lot of things to be done. In Kosovo, that was the big injustice of the settlement in Paris, that Yugoslavia, or at that time the Kingdom of Serbia, Slovenia, and Croatia, could somehow claim Kosovo as its territory and Macedonia as well. That was their booty of the First Balkan War, and then also this was endorsed in Paris, unfortunately. But it was in Kosovo already at that time mainly Albanian people living, and the Serb forces committed genocide after genocide in this conquest from 1912 until the middle of the 20s, when it has more or less stabilized. But it was terrible crimes which were committed by the Serbs against the Albanians in Kosovo ever since, in fact. So, and then also in Montenegro, there is also Albanian minority living in the border areas until Podgorica, basically the plains go, then also the mountains start, and there is also a significant Albanian minority living, even a majority in the cities of Ulcin and of Tuzi. Yes, that's more or less the geography. Huge mountains, they are not very populated, in fact, and most of the Albanians live in this coastal plain. The main cities, Shkodra in the north, Flora in the south, and Tirana and Durrës, basically one city, more or less a kind of metropolis area in the center, where, in fact, most of the, now it's 2.8 million people living in Albania. It was much more during communism, but obviously many of them, millions, have left to America, especially to America, but also to Germany, Italy, Greece, Austria, during the disaster, because it was one of the worst disaster communism of the history. I think from all communist regimes, which were all a disaster, don't worry, man, it's hard to make a difference between disaster and mega disaster, but the most cruel form of communism and the most kind of Stone Age-like communism with a low level of industrial development, low level of economic and transport mobility, no access towards the Western world, very limited access towards the rest of the communist world, and a complete denial of anything. Yeah, what was done by first the Russian advisors and then the Chinese advisors, and you see so many industrial ruins and badly done industrial projects which are polluting their environment. That's very sad. Yeah, that's very sad. On the other hand, you have a very energetic people, very entrepreneurial. You have this Mediterranean spirit of getting things done and always to find a solution, a settlement, improvised, but with energy and with effort, with creativity. And you have already the last 20 years, I've personally witnessed enormous progress in EU standards, in EU application, in cleaning up the place and getting it organized and introducing standards, regulation, enforcement. It's really tremendous transformation of Albania in the last 20 years. I know it. I've been first time in 98 in April. It was a disaster, honestly. and I was there for a weekend only. But then when I started to live in the Balkans in 2005, but also during my visits in the meantime, I was there three times before 2005, and then I moved in 2008 to Albania permanently. And it's a lovely place. It's wonderful. If you have ever the opportunity to work, live, study, do anything there, or just holiday and visit, it's highly recommended. It's like a Greece 20 years ago, or maybe 30 years ago, but it's catching up fast. And it's surprisingly, I call Tirana always the New York of the Balkans. It's with skyscrapers as big as New York. Maybe that's too much, but at least 20 floors they have, and several of them. And it's really a dynamic place. Obviously, you know, it's not Singapore and Hong Kong. Let's stay realistic. But it's a much more dynamic place than anybody would think. And it's growing. It's growing dynamically. It's an amazing place also from its touristic development, full of history, full of culture, and beautiful museums, I recommend. And in one of the next podcasts, I will then talk about the Albanian history and, you know, how it all happened with communism, why it was allied, the only European ally of China. That's quite surprising. How it could stay with Stalin whenever Stalin was dead, and all this split with the Yugoslavia. Why it turned out to be such a paranoid country, and why actually we should help Albania. That's also my main message. It will be in all them, that the faster we integrate Albania in the European Union, the more stable, the more prosperous, the more successful the whole of Southeastern Europe will be. Obviously, it's always complicated. With all countries now I will describe, it is complicated, but it is the best way. And we are made for complicated things in Europe. For the easy things, we have actually never was very easy, European unification, if you're honest. But now, of course, we are rich in Western Europe and we think, oh, that's all very complicated, very far away. But I'm sure the American advisors who came after World War II to Europe had a similar kind of thinking. The European advisors then going during the Balkan Wars and after the Balkan Wars. But, you know, the things have tremendously improved, and it's a great place for investment, a great place to for tourism, and it will be an Albania, European Albania. It will be a very good contribution to the European unification process, the same as it is already since 2009, a NATO ally. And with some courage, we would have taken it into the EU together with Croatia, but unfortunately racism and prejudice reigns, and courage is very little to find in Europe. But we will now get better by time, I hope, and 2024 is entirely possible. And by the way, Albania, adopt the euro! That's really important to do, and that would be much better to have one currency and it's a kind of on the road already towards European unification. Yeah, in concluding, I say it's a wonderful country. Come and visit. You will enjoy. You will learn a lot. You will see a lot. And it's an amazing place, unforgettable. And I really love it. And I'm looking forward to my next visit to European Albania. Thanks a lot.